What about President Obama saying that she will go down in history for serving as the secretary finally declared quality, affordable health care? That is not the legacy. What about if she was in the private sector? How many people do you think she would be able to go out under her terms? Again, this is now, notice it's done on a Friday, trying to dump her now. Now she is the fall guy in this whole thing. Let's take your phone call. Starting line 8, John is in Michigan, listening on WJR. John, this is John DePietro, and you're on the Savage Nation.
Thank you. I feel that after her being in 5 years and doing all this work that the president said, in order for her to be leaving like this, it's a total failure. Or she wouldn't be stepping down. She would stay in that position. Also, when she got in, originally she knew nothing about health care systems. And to prove it, when that poor girl that was 10 needed a set of lungs, and she said the cutoff age is 12, and she said, well, there's a time to live and a time to die. It just proved her, you know, capacity for health care, and that's part of the reason that they're dumping her.
That is exactly right, John. Thank you for the call. Even if you are a supporter, are you kidding me? Talk about complete incompetence. Someone should have been held accountable. And for the president to say, number one, we don't even know what the real numbers are. You know, going out, 7.5 million Americans signed up. We don't know that that's the actual number. She is being thrown under the bus. And now, because they feel that she is basically toxic and they want to get rid of her before the fall elections, and wanted, you know, this is the way the president pushing her out. Do you really think she's just leaving on her own? She deserves to now step away? And how many people, would the president said, you know, she's going to go down in history. How is she going to go down in history? Do you regard this as a success? I think the whole rollout has lacked accountability, has lacked anyone stepping up. They misled people. They lied to people. People's lives have been at stake. And then this is the way the president, I think, can dump her before upcoming elections and at the same time trying to allow her to save face. There is no accountability, once again, with this administration. Let's go to line 3. This is Mike listening in Virginia on WMAL. Mike, you're on the Savage Nation. Hello, Mike.
Hello. I think she should go down as the most inept manager in the history of the United States. I mean, to be able to say, oh, yeah, we've got 7 million, when you can't even tell us how many of them are paying. I mean, that's ridiculous.
That is exactly, Mike, thank you for the call. You know, they can't, and now is the time that she's stepping out, and even if then, you know, the numbers come back and the numbers are not accurate, that then she's already gone. I mean, this is the way that the White House recognizes they have problems coming up with the fall elections. Who listening right now, do you regard that she's been a success? Do you regard that your health care is better off? Whether she's at fault or the administration's at fault, someone should have, no one is being held accountable on this whole thing. They could not even get her speech right with a page missing. And the president talks about she'll go down in history. She won't go down in history. People around the country, Democrats, don't want him coming in. They don't want to be talking about Obamacare. People are going to be knocked out because of Obamacare. What success? 1-855-400-7282. Let's go to line 9. This is John listening on WABC. This is John DePietro in for Michael Savage. Hello, John.
Yes, sir. I think this woman is feckless, but unfortunately she's the victim of an awful president who put her in a bad situation. I don't know how much better she could have done her job. He's almost as feckless if he weren't so sinister as to believe he could pass this boondoggle off on the American public and that the majority of them wouldn't recognize it for exactly what it is, a boondoggle. Unfortunately, a large percentage of the country is going to believe anything he says.
How do you see she goes down in history, John?
Oh, she'll be a footnote, if best.
Yeah. Well, if anything, thank you for the call, John. If anything, I mean, I would describe it. Is there anyone regarding this as a huge success, the way they're trying to spin it? What a tremendous job. You know, I think after all the hard work, Kathleen deserves a little time off. That is absolutely ridiculous. I mean, for her to be able to go out, notice it's a Friday, they just want to remove her, throw her under the bus, and now try to put themselves in a better position for the elections in the fall. Let's go to line 2. Dave is listening in Fort Worth, Texas. He's listening on a great radio station, WBAP. Dave, you're on the Savage Nation. Hello, Dave.
Hello, Joan. I just had a I've been listening to this the last few hours about her, you know, leaving her office, and I just think, how Orwellian is this going to get before we just turn this stuff off? I mean, they act like this is a great, that she did a great job, and I can't see it. I mean, and they also act like nobody sees what they're really doing. Is that really true? Are we that stupid?
Dave, thank you for the call. That is an excellent point, and that is the fact that, you know, no matter how much spin, no one is going to regard this as a success. Now, keep in mind, you know, during the firestorm, Obama made it clear to his aides he would not seek her resignation. And now they feel the time is better, brighter news, enrollment soared, they can't be checked. Some White House allies said last night that the trouble launch, healthcare.gov, had heightened tensions, I would think, between Sebelius and the president's staff, who had become increasingly mistrustful of the department she led. She's mistrustful. How about what's coming out of the White House? 1-855-400-7282. How does she go down in history? No matter how much they spin this, at the end of the day, he's throwing her under the bus. We're going to come back and take your phone calls. Again, this is John DePietro sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage. Our phone number, 1-855-400-7282. 1-855-400-SAVAGE. We'll continue with more. You're listening to The Savage Nation.
Join The Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
Kathleen Sebelius, my Secretary of Health and Human Services, told me she'd be moving on once the first open enrollment period under the Affordable Care Act came to an end. And after 5 years of extraordinary service to our country, and 7.5 million Americans who've signed up for health coverage through the exchanges, she's earned that right.
1-855-400-SAVAGE, 1-855-400-7282. You're listening to The Savage Nation. This is John DePietro sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage. That is President Obama, as again they announced, the resignation, Health and Human Services Secretary Kathleen Sebelius. You know, after all of this, after the disaster that was Obamacare, as they're trying to put a spin on this, and now the president trying to put a spin that she's going out under a great light, what a tremendous job, she's earned that right to step down. Do you really think this is her idea to step down? Do you think someone should be allowed to leave, no accountability? President said she's going to go down in history. Has there anything that has been a bigger disaster and continues to be a bigger disaster than Obamacare? But they wait till a Friday. They wait till they feel they have better numbers on this, even though it hasn't been checked yet. Let's go to line one. Robert is listening on WABC. Robert's on the Savage Nation. Hello, Robert.
Yeah, hi. You know, something tells me that 7.5 million Americans who now have health care and couldn't afford it don't think that Obamacare is a disaster. And before you cut me off, you have no idea, neither do I, how Obamacare is going to play out. It's just beginning. So I don't know where you get this kind of just this venting irrationally against something that still has to be played out. And what are these 7.5 million people? They're not Americans?
Number one, we have no way to document those numbers, correct?
What's that?
We have no way to document those numbers. We just have to take their word for them. So far, have they been accurate in everything they've said about this program?
Do you think, first of all, there are independent auditors on this. And if you want to talk about legacy, I don't know why you're going after Sebelius. I agree. She's a sideshow. That's not the issue. The issue is Obamacare. And let's look at the legacy.
The legacy is incompetence.
The legacy is going to be Obama. Legacy, Bush's legacy.
Wrong. Don't try to drag President Bush on this. Robert, be fair. The president was the one. What did he say? Your plan is not going to change. You like your plan, you keep your plan. Did that happen?
Hey, I got to tell you.
How was the website launch?
I'm thrilled with Obamacare. Am I not an American?
Robert, someone has to be held accountable. How can you let her off the mat on this? Robert, why are you making excuses for her? It's been a disaster, and it's been more costly. People have been kicked off. How can you trump it as a success?
All right. What do you tell 7.5 million Americans who now have health care and couldn't be insured before? Tell them it's a disaster.
What do you mean they could? How do you know they couldn't be insured? All they've done is put people on Medicaid.
And how do you know those getting canceled, their insurance policies are because of Obamacare?
It costs more for those that had it. It's costing people their jobs. And people that didn't have it are being put on Medicaid, and they could have had it in the past. And people, I don't know why you continue to make excuses for a failed program that most people want to overturn, Robert. Where are my facts? Thank you for the call. Where are they coming up with the 7.5 million? 1-855-400-7282. Bob is listening in Virginia on WMAL. Bob's on the Savage Nation. Hello, Bob.
Hello. Boy, I really don't understand those people like Robert that just called. I voted for Obama the first time. I did not the second time, because I could not ignore the facts that were being given to me about this administration. And real quickly, I really think it's a shame, because this man had the opportunity to really make history, great history, and he chose the opposite tack, and he's going to go down as an abstract failure. And I'm a little ashamed of what we've let happen here, but it's because of people like Robert.
That's right. Now, Bob, number one, thank you for your call. Number two, there's nothing we could, what do you mean, like, we let happen? I mean, I don't see how they could have made history, because basically there's a pattern of total unaccountability, amateur-houredness that sticks with this administration. And for him to throw her under the bus on a Friday and now try to trump it like it's a big success, it's not going to work. 1-855-400-7282. This is John DePietro sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage, and this is The Savage Nation.
Their stories are so heartening about finally feeling secure and knowing they can take care of themselves and their families. Unfortunately, a page is missing.
Of course it is.
So I'm just grateful for having had this wonderful opportunity.
Another glitch.
The president was in Austin yesterday at the LBJ Library commemorating 50 years in the civil rights efforts led by Lyndon Johnson.
Look at that. Even at the end, she can't go out in a smooth way. That is the voice, the departure of Kathleen Sebelius. Now they're saying, you know, this really is a way for the president to remove, let's face it, she has been on a big focal point, and good reason, for all the criticism on the rollout of Obamacare. Our phone number, 1-855-400-SAVAGE. This is John DePietro sitting in for the one and only, the defender of the faith, the king of all men, Dr. Michael Savage, and this is the Savage Nation. Let's go to line four. Donna is listening on WABC. Donna, hello, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hi, hello, thank you. The problem with Roberts in the world is that until it strikes their family, it's not a problem. But when it does, it's devastating. In my own family, my sister's policy in New Jersey, Blue Cross Blue Shield, had it for over 25 years. When it was canceled by New Jersey Blue Shield, her little boy was determined to need brain surgery, and she was stuck with the medical bills, including a $3,000 ambulance ride to the hospital. One person at a time, the American, not just middle class, anyone, is being destroyed. They go after us one person at a time. Where does my sister go to complain about this? Where does the next person go? They are taking us down one person at a time. And that's the reality of Obamacare.
Donna, what do you say to a Kathleen Sebelius or President Obama that are trying to tell you and your sister that the whole thing has been a huge success?
It's just devastating. The bills are easily over $70,000, And I don't know what to say. How can you afford to pay those bills and make a living in a constricted economy and in a state which is so highly taxed? It's destroying people's lives, and that's the dollars and cents of Obamacare. Thanks for giving me a chance.
Thank you for the call, Donna. 1-855-400-SAVAGE. Let's go to line two. Skip is in Virginia listening on WMAL. Skip, you're on the Savage Nation.
John, thanks for the opportunity.
Welcome.
This woman is despicable. She is a liar, just like the president. These people are so stupid that they think that we believe for 4 years they can't get the facts straight. She's got more than a page missing. She's got a brain missing.
The president said she will go down in history as serving under the success and how tremendous it has been. You disagree with that, Skip?
Absolutely. And just like the wonderful Secretary of State that was the greatest Secretary of State we've ever seen, all of them think they're so damn great.
Thank you for the call, Skip. Let's go to line eight. It's Ken, and he's listening on WABC. Ken, this is John DePietro, and you're on the Savage Nation.
We're living in very frightening times, and anybody who's not frightened is really not paying attention. You have an agency of the government using the apparatus of the government to censure and block a certain particular group of people because they disagree with your policies or whatever. And it's the IRS, no less, who is in charge of enforcing Obamacare. Susan Rice, we have also media that is in collusion with the administration. They're not seeking truth and they're not reporting news. They're choosing news. So not only are they not doing their jobs, but then you have a woman like Susan Rice actually using the media to lie to everybody about what happened in Benghazi. Meanwhile, Americans are killed, and no one thinks that this is important. And, my dad, who doesn't watch Fox, I said to him yesterday, yeah, this IRS thing, he had no idea what I was talking about. I was shocked. I said, Dad, you don't know what's going on, what the IRS did, what happened in Benghazi, Fast and Furious. Really,
Ken, that's it. Ken, thank you for the call. That's exactly the way they actually want it for a lot of the people. See, that's the thing. You can't blame your dad. I mean, people are busy. People have lives to live. They depend that when the president speaks to them or high-level government officials that they're going to be on the up and up, that they're going to give them accurate information. They're going to give them the truth. The word is going to mean something. People don't, unfortunately, have time to step back and fact check everything that is told to them by their leaders. Now, let's hear cut four. And again, this was earlier today, President Obama, and you'd almost have to, like, what world is he living in? Listen to the way he praises Kathleen Sebelius, his outgoing Secretary of Health and Human Services. Cut four.
And of course, what Kathleen will go down in history for is serving as the Secretary of Health and Human Services when the United States of America finally declared that quality, affordable health care is not a privilege, but it is a right for every single citizen of these United States of America.
It can't go down that way. You can't rewrite history in that way. That's not what happened. We know that's not what happened. It's unfortunate they're trying to paint that's what happened. You know, this is one of the biggest problems in government, where there's no accountability. We all know. Would this have happened in the private sector? Can you imagine, would you still be employed if you had been her and this had happened where you worked? Let's go to line six. Gary is listening in Charleston, South Carolina on WTMA. Gary, you're on with John DePietro on the Savage Nation. Hello, Gary.
Hello. I don't think she'll go down in history for anything. It's all Obama and his bunch from Chicago. It's their way of politics. They're trying to change the whole culture of America to bring in all these people.
Thank you for the call, Gary. You had me with Dr. Savage. I don't know about the other one, but no, Michael Savage has been 100% accurate on this every step of the way. And you have to seek out sources of the media where you are going to get what's really going on. Not the way, many, let's face it, many members of the media are going to carry the president's speech, and for those not paying attention, they're going to be confused, thinking this woman is resigning because she's done a tremendous job, and it's almost like she's just exhausted. Like the president said, you know, I think she's earned the right. She's put worked tirelessly day in, day out. It's been a huge success, and now's the time. That is not what has been going on. Let's go to line one. This is John in Colorado, listening on KBOR. John, you're on with John DePietro on the Savage Nation. Hello, John.
Yes, indeed. Thank you very kindly. Most appreciative. I won't go into lecture mode. If I do, stop me immediately.
Okay.
But my concern has always been from day one in the face of this, and I'm not trying to be the smartest person in the room, sir. But this is, after all the rhetoric is taken away, from my perspective, clear outright totalitarianism. Because I come back time and again, my friends, and there is no clause, passage, codicil within the Constitution that indicates our government have the right to require any citizen to buy a product and or service from the government. This is purely all about control. And as a child, I'm 63 years of age today, between 1953 and 1959, due to my late father's work, every year we would leave the United States several times for weeks at an end and go down to Cuba and come back to the United States. And I was there to see over years the buildup of communism and eventually the fall of the nation. We had the luxury of being able to leave because we were not Cuban. Those who were Cuban, of course, well, I could talk at length about what happened. It's beyond tragic, but ladies and gentlemen, we are looking at pure, unfettered totalitarianism. And if you would be so kind, my friend.
But, John, who would want, thank you for the call, who would want the health care in Cuba? I don't think people have any idea. I mean, those people, they suffer from diarrhea the way people around here just suffer from an allergy. They suffer from all kinds of things that people here, I mean, so fortunate not to have to put up with. But when what went on in the White House and in the Rose Garden, to try to portray this as a victory and commend her, you know, this is someone that obviously should have been held accountable and should have been fired. No one gets fired with this group. I think this is one of the biggest frustrations in government, is in the private sector, people get fired. No one gets fired. Line three is Jim, who's calling from Washington, D.C., listening on WMAL. Jim's on the Savage Nation. Hello, Jim.
Hello, John. Thanks for taking my call. And
very well.
This point goes to your comment about how she will be judged, remembered by history. Well, there's the history that's what really happened, and there's the history of public opinion. And we've seen many, many times over and over again where that is rewritten. The colloquial history is that Bill Clinton gave us a balanced budget, but if you look at the actual data from Treasury, the last time we had a balanced budget, my lifetime, was in 1957, because the debt went up every year. So, you know, it's so much of it is a battle for just getting people to not listen to what they're being programmed with in the media and actually thinking.
Well, thank you for the call. You know, you're exactly right, except for the fact, you know, you have to put it for where it is. I mean, look where the information is coming from. Is there anybody listening that believes that this was a solid rollout, that they're better off? This is a continual sell job where we're constantly trying to be told that it's worth it and people are, you know, trying to stand up for this program when there no one in their right mind believes that. But the real truth of the matter is, Kathleen Sebelius was toxic. And basically the president, they wanted to push her out to try to take heat off the party. And she is ultimately going to be the fall guy. And I realize our fall woman. But a lot of people that get in that position will say that comes with the territory and, you know, serve at the pleasure of the president. And he wanted her to go. But the, you know, the fact is that this is someone that should have been held accountable a long time ago. And again, I'm not saying that she should have been humiliated, but for the president to stand up there and try to treat it like it was a big success, but now it's time to move on, that is just not an accurate depiction of how I mean, no one feels that Obamacare has been successful. 1-855-400-7282. Line 6 is Mike in Virginia, and he's listening on WMAL. Hello, Mike. You're on the Savage Nation. Line 5, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Mike.
I wonder who the accountability, you say the politicians have no accountability. Isn't the true accountability with the voters and the American people? Don't we have accountability for an office even if we know what they're...
Well, problem with the law. Yes, as a matter of fact, yes, we do, except when you're talking about someone who is in a cabinet position and you're talking about a president who's not up for re-election, and then it seems as if there's no accountability. This had to have been from within, where the president was hearing from his own party and people up for re-election that a lot of Democrats are going to lose this fall, and basically because their opponents are running against them on Obamacare. 1-855-400-SAVAGE. Our website is michaelsavage.com. This is John DePietro sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage. We'll come back. More of your phone calls ahead. This is The Savage Nation.
Join The Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE.
This is The Savage Nation. This is John DePietro sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage. Our phone number, if you'd like to call into the program, 1-855-400-SAVAGE. How about the front page of the New York Times? Hoping for asylum. Migrants strain U.S. border. I had to read it twice. Illegals. How much is it up, the percentage? 69% increase over last year. 90,000 apprehensions in the Rio Grande Border Patrol made. Illegals continue to cross the border, this time coming from El Salvador, Guatemala, Honduras. And all now they're pleading for is asylum, feeling that our government is going to allow them to come in. It was a cutback for a while of people trying to sneak across the border. But when the president sends a message that they're going to be allowed to stay here, then that's the type of reaction that you get. Let's go to line 9. Rich is calling from New Jersey, listening on WABC. Rich, you're on with John DePietro on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Welcome.
I think finally the toll of illegal immigrants coming here and our government, they're totally illegal. I'm not talking about visas, school, people who do it through customs. I'm talking over the border illegal. We have to take the cost of all their children. This is how they survive off our social services. So illegal immigration, if you come here illegally, you can have an American-born baby. That seems very odd to me.
And there's no other country that allows something like that. Of course it's odd, Rich. If you traveled to Scotland and then ended up having a child there, you wouldn't say that your child is a Scot. You're an American who had a birth overseas, correct?
Absolutely. But the cost to us is tremendous.
Yes, it is. Thank you for the call. I mean, you're also talking about people that are not vaccinated, who haven't had the type of health care. It is really just paving the way. More and more of this, it's just going to be completely unaffordable. Carol on line 1 is calling from Michigan, listening on WJR. Hello, Carol. You're on the Savage Nation.
What Americans have to understand is this, that this administration's strategy is the one of diversion. They are drawing attention to this woman, Civilis, in order to divert the attention away from Lois Lerner's contempt of court.
Thank you for the call, Carol. Also, what Sebelius ultimately is doing is taking the fall, and this has obviously been a toxic problem for the administration. You have midterm elections rolling around, and now all blame will be put on her. The failed rollout of Obamacare, all the problems will be wrapped around Kathleen Sebelius saying it was all her fault. 1-855-400-7282. The website is michaelsavage.com. This is John DePietro sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage.
Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
1-855-400-SAVAGE is our phone number if you'd like to call the program. 1-855-400-7282. This is John DePietro sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage. Our website, michaelsavage.com. New York Post, a story, almost a reflection on life today. More young women choosing dogs over motherhood. Are you one of those people that would choose a dog? Would you rather have a dog or a child? 1-855-400-SAVAGE. New York Post. Next generation of youngsters should be called Generation Rex. You're wondering why playgrounds around the city are so quiet. Dog runs are packed. New report has an answer. More and more U.S. women foregoing motherhood and getting their maternal kicks by owning handbag size canines. Paris Hilton was the first one, as I think of it, that had the little lap dog that she would just take around. And now it's spreading. Declared one woman, Sarah Foster, 30, I'd rather have a dog over a kid. Are you one of those people? Rather have a dog instead of a child. She says it's just less work. And honestly, I have more time to go out. You don't have to get a babysitter. The number of small dogs that people are taking ownership of in the country has skyrocketed. 34 million 2008. Close to 41 million 2012. How many people, if you're at a mall or walking around a city, any city, you see someone walking with a stroller baby carriage. Oh, let me look. Let me look at this little gift of life. And there's a little tiny Yorkie staring back at you, or a little Chihuahua. This type of conversation requires honesty. If you're a woman listening especially and would rather have a dog than a child, I'd like to hear your story. 1-855-400-SAVAGE. We're told there's definitely some replacement happening there. Rise in puppy ownership and less women having children. Mary Smith of Maury Hill said her six-month-old French bulldog brings her as much joy as a baby. Oh, dogs are better. He has his own Instagram, easier to transport than a child, less final than having a child. What is wrong? Don't you find it wrong? More young women choosing dogs over motherhood. 1-855-400-7282. Have you encountered one of these women walking and you see the stroller? Someone was telling me they were at an indoor mall. They couldn't believe all the baby carriage. They thought, oh, isn't this wonderful? These are either parents or grandparents. And then they started, oh, let me peek in. And there are dogs inside of the baby carriages, little tiny lap dogs inside of the strollers. And I'd rather just have a puppy. You know, it fulfills my maternal instinct, and it's just easier. And if I'm going to go away for the weekend, I can just leave the dog at the pound. And then if something goes wrong, you know, kids today, they're really tough to handle, and they don't behave, and they talk back. And, you know, instead, you're talking about the love of an animal. I know that. But as a father of three, I mean, don't you find, I think there's something selfish about it. I think there's something naive about it. I think there's something immature about it. Yeah, of course, you know, children, yeah, they can be difficult as they get older. But, you know, the little dog will always just be that, the dog. I mean, I think, but again, if you're someone, I'm looking for honesty, someone who's not ashamed to say they have dogs, and they'd rather have dogs instead of having a child. 1-855-400-7282. Savage, or 1-855-400-7282. Let's start with line one, Arch, who's listening on Cape Cod on WABC. Arch, this is John DePietro, and you're on the Savage Nation.
Hi, John. I just want to say I'm really tired of people who are not animal lovers giving animals their place. I'm 48 years old. I live with my mom in her basement. I have a dog. He's like my son. I'm sick and tired of your kids being around the playground, yelling, making noise. Dogs and cats should have a special place to go, period.
How's life in your mother's basement? Don't you think it's time to move out of the basement?
If I didn't have my dog, I don't know if I'd be here today. But you just go on and on about how
it's,
your kid's this, your kid's that.
It's a pet. Arch, have you ever thought of A, moving out of your mother's basement, or B, going on a date with another human, male or female?
Whether I have a date or not, it's irrelevant, but dogs should be allowed in restaurants.
No.
They should be allowed anywhere. I'm sick of you people with the kids, my kids this, my kids.
I find it hard to believe you're not a big hit with the ladies.
Shut up with your kids. All it is about kids. What about
children? Are the future, Arch. If you were ever to meet a female, or at this point, maybe even a male who you could date and have a child, that's what you want to gravitate towards. Not just living in the basement. What a shock. What a shock, folks. He lives in his mother's basement and has a dog. 1-855-400-7282. I don't know how a lot of you single ladies let that guy get past you. I mean, that's going to be a pretty good pickup line out on the Cape on a Friday night. What do you say we go back to my mother's basement? I'll show you my dog. Lane on line three is listening in Virginia on WMAL. Lane's on the Savage Nation. This is John DePietro. Hello, Lane.
Hey, how you doing? I think that it ties a lot of this ties into the feminist movement myself. The dogs definitely work really well with the single lifestyle, the empowerment and all of that. I think it's really a joke what your other caller just said. He almost sounded anti-family, on and on with the kids. I mean, my goodness, like you said, it's a kid. The other thing is I wonder about the demographics of this study. I bet you it'd be mainly white women.
Well, it is, thank you for the call, Lane. It is young women, and it's women that instead of getting married and having children, instead they're remaining single. And they're choosing to have a small dog. Have you seen the people pushing the carriages or the stroller? Or are you one of those people? There's nothing wrong. If you're listening right now and you're a woman, you could even be an older woman, and you feel that, you know what, I'm honest about it, I'd rather have a little dog instead of a child. I'd like, defend your choice. 1-855-400-SAVAGE. Have you seen the mother or the grandmother and you think, oh, isn't that nice? Pushing the little child in the stroller, and then you go up and you realize it's a little 6-pound yip-yip type dog, a little lap dog. Alina is calling on line two from San Francisco, listening on KSFO. Alina, you're on the Savage Nation. Hello, Alina. Hello, Alina. All right, we'll come back to Alina. 1-855-400-SAVAGE. I think part of it is, there's something, I think there's something immature. Don't you think it's selfish in a way? Or maybe it's naive. Maybe selfish isn't the right word. But, some of the comments of it's unconditional love from the animal. It's a pet. It'll never be more than a pet. That's true. It'll never talk back. It'll always then just be happy and wag the tail. But it's not the same as the gift of a child, of a beautiful little baby. And for someone to say, it's almost like having like a baby light. Like, I do like the maternal instinct of having the little dog and choosing a dog over a child. And that way, if I want to go away for the weekend, I could just leave the little dog at the pound. Or if I want to go out, I don't have to get a sitter. But There's something about that that's so lacking. Let's go to line three. Bill is in Connecticut, listening on WABC. Bill, this is John DePietro, and you're on the Savage Nation.
How are you? I just wanted to say that guy two calls ago was a nut job. Stay in your basement, pal.
The free rent of living in the basement. Well, I know, that's a whole other topic of people that are still living in their parents' basement with a dog. But, Bill, you know, there are some people, it's sad if they think, you know, there's really, like this woman in the article, there's no real difference between a little baby and a little dog. It's basically the same.
No, it's not the same, because I had a dog, and I had to put it down 2 years ago as a German Shepherd. I cried my eyes out. But I also have two girls, and they're 10 and 14 now. And it's kind of cliche to say, you don't know how much your parents love you until you have a child of your own.
That's exactly right. Thank you for the call, Bill. 1-855-400-7282. Would you rather have a child or a dog? Would you rather have a dog or a baby? 1-855-400-SAVAGE. Remember, our website is michaelsavage.com. It's John DePietro sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage. We'll come back. More of your phone calls. This is the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage.
1-855-400-SAVAGE. 1-855-400-7282. You're listening to the Savage Nation. This is John DePietro sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage. Our website is michaelsavage.com. New York Times front page. Hoping for asylum. Migrants strain U.S. border. More and more from El Salvador, Guatemala, Honduras, crossing over the Rio Grande and hoping for asylum. Detention facilities, asylum offices, immigration courts overwhelmed. Enough illegals been released temporarily in the United States. They feel they have a good chance of staying. Word has gotten out. We're giving people permission and walking them out the door, said a Border Patrol agent. Some they are coming across in droves, overwhelming Border Patrol agents. Nancy Pelosi speaking on C-SPAN. Where do you hear this? You want to talk about irresponsible, totally just basically fabrication, no source. Let's hear cut one. This is Nancy Pelosi saying race is part of the reason why Republicans won't act on immigration.
It's a very difficult subject to talk about. I think race has something to do with the fact that they're not bringing up an immigration bill. I've heard them say to the Irish, for just you, this would be easy. I think that, generally speaking, they are disrespectful of the representatives of the president's administration.
I've heard them say, who did you hear say that? When did they say that? Who said, I heard them say to the Irish? Oh, notice it's the Republicans. Is that what it's about? Do you agree with that? 1-855-400-7282. That was Nancy Pelosi. Race has something to do with it. You know, I've heard them say to the Irish, if it was just you, it would just be that easy. Who said that? What an irresponsible thing to say. How do we know she didn't fabricate that? It's not about that. It's the masses of people coming in. See, this is setting up the whole frame that if you're against, I just mentioned the New York Times article, coming across the border in droves. Border Patrol agents stood broad daylight, the banks of the Rio Grande. Mexican side smugglers pulled up in vans and unloaded illegal migrants. Agents clearly visible, and instead they all come over. After 6 years of steep decline, illegal crossing have soared in South Texas while remaining low elsewhere. 69% increase over last year. That's not a matter of race. How can she make a statement like, it's not a matter of race? Oh, you know, no, I would feel that way. If it were the, I would feel that way if it was anyone. It doesn't matter whether it's Irish or Italians or who else she wants to mention. In this case, it happens to be, where are they from? El Salvador, Guatemala, Honduras. Let's hear cut one again. Again, this is Nancy Pelosi speaking on C-SPAN, blaming the Republicans, and basically making up a statement. No source, no attribution. basically say, oh, you know, I've heard them say if it was Iris. Let's hear Nancy Pelosi again, cut one.
It's a very difficult subject to talk about. I think race has something to do with the fact that they're not bringing up an immigration bill. I've heard them say to the Irish, for just you, this would be easy.
Who?
I think that, generally speaking, they are disrespectful of the representatives of the of the president's administration.
Now they're disrespectful. Line five is Earl, listening in Iowa. Earl, you're up on the Savage Nation. Hello, Earl.
Yes. I'm calling about the Constitution. What part of it does nobody read? Where it states, you come into this country through due process of law. It is a felony to cross that border illegally. You are classified as a terrorist when you do so.
They are coming. Thank you for the call, Earl. They are coming over in droves. They are seeking asylum. And notice the way Nancy Pelosi, do you think it's all about race is the reason why Republicans won't act on immigration? Who listening believes that she said, I heard them say, if it were the Irish, you know, if it were just you, it would be easy. How do we know she's not fabricating that? How do you know she's not making that up? How can this be? They know. What is the attitude? Just come across. I'll take my chances. We hear if you get in, that you can stay. That's what's being told. 1-855-400-SAVAGE. 1-855-400-7282. This is John DePietro sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage, and you're listening to the Savage Nation.
Join.
It's a very difficult subject to talk about. I think race has something to do with the fact that they're not bringing up an immigration bill. I've heard them say to the Irish, for just you, this would be easy. I think that, generally speaking, they are disrespectful of the representatives of the of the president's administration.
That is Nancy Pelosi. What an outrageous accusation to make. Race has something to do with the fact that the Republicans aren't bringing the immigration bill. And I've heard them say, she said, I've heard them say to the Irish, if it was just you, it would be easy. Who? When? Name names. Who said that? It's not about race. 1-855-400-7282. This is John DePietro sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage, and you're tuned to the Savage Nation. Let's go to your calls. Line 1, Bill is listening in Virginia on WMAL. Bill's on the Savage Nation. Hello, Bill.
Hi, John. I got the answer for you on who they is. Very simple. It's all these voices in Nancy Pelosi's head talking. you got to remember, she's used this line before about, you know, very prominent Republicans have told me, you know. Doesn't the media say, excuse me, Nancy, but who are they?
Right. Name names. Who said that? When did they say that? Thank you for the call, Bill. It's not about race. I just mentioned the New York Times story. They are coming over in droves. It's not so much who it is. It's just the fact, the sheer number that are coming in. Greg on line 2 is listening in Kansas City on KCMO. Greg, welcome. You're on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, as far as the people picking pets over procreation, not only do I agree with you that that's selfish, it's the best news that I've heard in a while. The root cause of all the problems in our society in this country can be traced to idiots, complete idiots voting and complete idiots reproducing. And at least in this case, some of them have taken themselves out of the reproduction part of it there for us. And I just
that
wish
is
that
true.
Pelosi was only a pet owner.
Very, very, very true. Thank you for the call, Greg. You know, this business of Nancy Pelosi now trying to say it's all about race. Look how things try to be framed. I mean, the bottom line, what about the people in other countries that try to do it the right way? What about the fact, why do we have to absorb all these people into the system? It's not a matter of who it is. It's a matter of the sheer number. The fact that I don't believe her in saying Republicans are saying to the Irish, if it was just you, it would be easy. You know, no attribution at all, a reckless accusation. When you hear people talk about illegal immigration, it is just the sheer magnitude of it, that it's destroying different cities, it's destroying the school system. and basically unfair to, you know, they talk about, I mentioned the New York Times story, and they talk about the number of children coming over. What about the American children that have to deal with foreigners into the school system? That is, there's no, you know, if she actually heard that, why not say exactly who said it and name names in that manner? Mickey on line three is listening in Michigan on WJR. Mickey, you're on the Savage Nation. This is John DePietro. Hello, Mickey.
Hello. I couldn't agree with you more, but I think the Democrats in general use that. They fall back on the race card whenever something becomes a challenge or becomes tough, and they don't know how to deal with it. They just fall back to the race card. That's my only comment.
You know, I thank you for the call, Mickey. I agree with that. And especially in this particular situation, though, don't you see that it's trying to be framed? And the whole argument of where she also says, you know, disrespectful, the president's administration, that's also race in a way. That was Eric Holder yesterday that we talked about. Eric Holder, you know, no administration has ever faced this before. Boy, talk about the woe is me. I mean, they act like the world on the shoulders. You have Holder claiming it. Now you have Pelosi, well, you know, the Republicans, just the way they've been disrespectful to this president. And let's hear clip 14 again, just to remind you of that accusation from Eric Holder.
I am pleased to note that the last 5 years have been defined by significant strides and by lasting reforms, even in the face of unprecedented, unwarranted, ugly, and divisive adversity.
That was him playing to the crowd at a gathering of Reverend Al Sharpton. Now, this is clip 15. This is Eric Holder, again, trying to say, you know, no one's ever had to deal with this type of disrespectfulness.
If you believe that, you look at the way, and forget about me. You look at the way the Attorney General of the United States was treated yesterday by a House committee. Had nothing to do with me. Forget that. What attorney general has ever had to deal with that kind of treatment? Right. What president has ever had to deal with that kind of treatment?
Listen to the applause. Look at playing to the victim. Every administration has its challenges. When you have one fiasco after another with no accountability, total control, it's bound to happen that way. 1-855-400-SAVAGE. Now, I also mentioned there's a New York Post story that a lot of women are opting to not have a child, and instead, they're having a dog. Janice on line 5 is listening in Maryland on WMAL. Janice, welcome. You're on the Savage Nation.
Thank you. I just wanted to call in and say that I was age 49. You know, things didn't work out with my choices of how I wanted to have children. And, you know, the pet does. I am a Yorkie owner. I'm on my second Yorkie. And there's a lot of fulfillment that I receive from my pet. And I just wanted to say that. I just wanted to call in and say that. And there's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing weird about me. And that it does serve around my purpose and my career. And I don't find it to be a selfish act. I think it's more a responsible choice, being that my earlier choices didn't work out in life.
Right. And Janice, you would agree that, as you said, it didn't work out. There's a difference between if someone has a choice of either choosing to have a child or then choosing a dog, as opposed to, you know, you mentioned just at this point in your life that being a mother is just, it's not an option that you have at the moment. Is that fair?
Well, at this moment, my choice was I really wanted to be a stay-at-home mom. I didn't think that I could do a job working and taking care of children, being that I didn't find a husband that could support that. You do have to choose other options.
Correct. But at the same time, Janice, you would never confuse a child with someone saying, you know what, instead of a child, I just get a little dog. Correct?
Well, it depends on what their needs are. I mean, it is what their needs are and what availability they wish to, you know, be giving of themselves, because children are a lot more work than a dog is.
Well, it's
from
right.
My position.
Thank you for the call, Janice. Well, I mean, you're talking about a pet, and you're talking about a human life. Line one is Brittany, listening in Dallas on WBAP. Brittany, this is John DePietro, and you're on the Savage Nation. Hello, Brittany.
Hi, thanks for having me. I listened to the last caller, and it was a matter of choice for her. I'm married. I'm 27. I'm in a master's program right now, and my husband and I have decided not to have children for various reasons. And I just thought it was offensive to kind of say that it was naive and selfish and unintelligent, and thank goodness we're not procreating. I think that there's a movement of intelligent people deciding that for a various number of reasons. And I don't know. In some ways, I often believe to decide to have children is one of the most selfish things you could do, but raising them is actually the most selfless thing you could do.
What is the most selfless?
Actually deciding that you and your genetics are great enough that you want to pass them on.
Well, I mean, that's a personal decision, but you can't say that having children is selfish. It's really the opposite. I mean, wouldn't you agree married people that don't have children are selfish?
Exactly. The actual choice of deciding to have a child, I think, is selfish. Or people can do it for selfish reasons. But the act of raising a child is definitely by far one of the most selfless things you can.
What would be a selfish reason for having a child, Brittany? Isn't that the whole point of getting married, is to raise a family? How is that selfish?
Companionship, wanting to be taken care of when you're old, wanting people to be around you in the holidays.
That's fine. But having a child is...
human. I mean, there's a lot of selfish reasons.
Well, but having a child isn't I don't see that as selfish. You think people have a child for companionship and someone to talk to in the holidays, and you know, if you have some kind of genetic situation within you can't have children or don't want to have children for whatever reason, that's fine. But you're not gonna, you and your husband are not gonna get a dog and pretend that it's just as good, correct?
No, and I think that part of the argument is it's kind of morphed into that because people have decided not to have children and they have a dog. It's like we're substituting it.
Yes.
And in my case, that's not it. I haven't heard many people on the show say that that's exactly what's going on. But
well, I thank you for the call, Brittany. I want to reference that it was a story. It's a story in the New York Post that more young women are choosing dogs over motherhood, and they feel it's just easier. And you have more time, and you don't have to get a babysitter. And a lot of them are saying, you know what, I'd rather have a dog instead of having a child. I think it plays into society. And I've never heard that. Someone who has a child is selfish. I haven't heard that one. Sarah, on line two, is listening in Fort Worth on WBAP. Sarah, you're on the Savage Nation. Hello.
Hello.
Go right ahead, Sarah.
Well, actually, I think your last caller was pretty interesting because my point is actually the opposite. I actually think it's a very selfless thing to have children, and I'm 31, and I have four children, so they're ages 12, 10, 7, and 7 months.
Yes.
And
Sarah, you would never trade a child for a dog, would you?
No.
No. I agree with you, Sarah. What do you think of Brittany trying to say, you know, it's pretty selfish to have a child?
I think that's crazy because I pretty much gave up my entire 20s and my 30s and my 40s. I mean, I won't be done raising children until I'm 50-something. So, I mean, I've given up all of that to have children, and I mean, I don't actually really see that I've given up anything because it's a choice.
Right. Thank you for the call, Sarah. Kim is on line six, listening in Connecticut on WABC. Kim, welcome. You're on the Savage Nation.
Thank you for taking my call. I agree with Brittany. A billion times. I think that what she said is exactly the way that I feel. I've been married 31 years. I'm still married very happily. I chose to have my little chihuahuas instead of children. And I have a little question for you. Do you know what the difference is between puppies and children?
Why don't you tell us what the difference is in your mind?
Puppies ruin your furniture, but children ruin your life.
Well, if you feel that way, it's actually probably, Kim, a good thing that you didn't have any children.
And I think Brittany is spot on. I think people are very selfish to have children. They just want little beings of themselves running around.
Yeah.
They're not
as opposed to just you with your little chihuahuas, correct?
I love little chihuahuas and little dogs and animals.
Yeah. And that's what they are, Kim. They're animals. They're not humans. They never will be a human. Joe on line 7 is listening in Virginia on WMAL. Joe, this is John DePietro, and you're on the Savage Nation. Hello, Joe.
Hey, John. How you doing?
Very well. Go right ahead.
Well, on the dog situation, I think it's a borderline dog abuse, dressing the little dogs up in human clothes and pushing them around in baby carriages. I mean, come on, give me a break. Dogs need to be running around playing with children.
I agree. Thank you for the call, Joe. I agree. I mean, what that is someone trying to pretend as if they just have, like, a little dog. Line 8 is Andy. He's listening in Michigan on WJR. Andy, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, John. Well, I wasn't going to talk about this, but hearing Brittany and that other caller, the scary thing is that they can still vote and drive cars and those sorts of things. I'm not going to talk about them. As far as Nancy Pelosi goes, you know, this is just schoolyard bullying. It's just
Yes. Starting
from the issue. It's just calling names. I mean, when you put them in a corner, they're like, well, you're, you know, these stupid liberals. Well, you're a racist. You're a bigot. You're a homophobe, you know. It's just like, to paraphrase Margaret Thatcher, you know, she loved it when her opponents would insult her because that was them signaling that they lost the argument.
That's exactly right. Andy, thank you for the call. 1-855-400-7282. You're listening to the Savage Nation. This is John DePietro sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage. More of your phone calls coming up on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call me.
1-855-400-SAVAGE. 1-855-400-7282. This is John DePietro sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage, and you're listening to the Savage Nation. Let's go to line 9. Marilyn is listening in San Francisco on KSFO. Marilyn, welcome. You're on the Savage Nation.
Oh, hey, hi. I just want to say, well, first of all, I'm 50 years old, and I've been disabled throughout my life, and I would have loved to have had children. I was hoping to marry, you know, one of those well-off techie guys, but it didn't work out. Well, the one I did marry became disabled, too, because of a stroke, but I kind of felt that innate need to mother as well. So, you know, having a dog and, you know, dressing it up in clothes and pretending it is a child that just sort of, you know, can meet a psychological need.
Well, that's nice. I mean, thank you, Marilyn. There's certainly nothing wrong with that. But we were referring to a story in the New York Post that many single young women are instead choosing to have a dog over a child. Dan is on line 4, also in San Francisco, and also listening on KSFO. Hello, Dan.
Hey, awesome. Great show. Great talk.
Just quickly, though, Dan. 20 seconds.
Can't believe it. Hello?
Go right ahead. Quickly, Dan.
Hey, I can't believe I just heard a woman say that children ruin their lives.
I know. I had heard that earlier. But, folks, then you have to wonder. The kids are probably better off that they are not the ones that raised them. 1-855-400-7282. Website, michaelsavage.com. This is John DePietro sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage. And this is the Savage Nation.
Joy, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
1-855-400-SAVAGE, 1-855-400-7282. This is John DePietro sitting in for the one and only Dr. Michael Savage. This is the Savage Nation. Our website is michaelsavage.com. President Obama, speaking at Al Sharpton's National Action Network Conference, using the forum to issue an election year warning against erosion of the Voting Rights Act. The White House says the president is going to make an issue what he feels Republican measures in some states that make it more difficult for Americans to vote. Is it asking too much for someone to show an ID when they go to vote wherever you live? How is that asking too much? What can you do in society without an ID? You certainly can't board an airplane. You can't get behind the wheel out of an automobile, any type of vehicle. There are certain provisions for voting. Why is this going after Republicans? Why is it that the president is trying to make this a partisan issue, trying to inflame things and saying that it's Republicans that is scaring people away from polling places, that it's Republicans that are trying to, as he feels, prevent people from voting? How is it that the president even argues it's even un-American almost to try to require ID when you're going to vote? If you're going to go into the voting booth, are you offended if someone asks you for an ID? Is that asking too much? Who can survive in society, no matter where you're listening? Why is that preventing someone from voting? Why is that a deterrent for someone to vote? When I go to vote, I expect them to ask me for an ID. I want them to ask me for an ID. Voting is sacred. Voting is a privilege. You have to vote, register to vote ahead of time. You have to vote in a certain district. You find out where it is. You either go online and get something in the mail, or maybe you always know you vote at a certain school or a gym or a fire station, wherever it is. How is that preventing people from voting by asking someone for a simple ID, simply so you can prove you are who you say you are? You want to go to a doctor. You have to present a legal form of ID. You want to, as I said, get on an airplane. You want to go in a nursing home. You have to have an ID. Why is President Obama inflaming things that it's Republicans that are trying to prevent people or discourage people from voting? I'm not offended that someone asked me for an ID. There are many places, whether it be a hockey game or a baseball game or whatever, you go up to purchase some alcohol and they ask you, regardless of age, for an ID. Are you offended by that? Are you prevented? Who that is a deterrent is people that are underage. And if you go somewhere and don't have an ID and you want to buy alcohol, then you have to find someone else that will buy it. Or then you know going forward you need an ID in order to do that. But why is the president rallying on? Is that discrimination, asking someone for an ID when they go out to vote? 1-855-400-SAVAGE. First time call is welcome. 1-855-400-7282. How is that suppressing voter turnout, as the president is trying to make accusations that it does? How do you suppress voter turnout by simply asking someone to identify themselves? This is who you say you are. Then you present an ID, and that proves you are who you say you are. Democrats say photo identification affects low-income and minority voters who may not drive and wouldn't have an official government ID. Who are these people in society without an ID? You go on a job interview, you need an ID. Everyone, you want to rent a cold water flat, studio apartment in the worst section of town. Your landlord, a slumlord, wants to see an ID. Why is everything race with these people? Every excuse, anything that might be common sense, is regarded as some form of inflaming race. Now, Nancy Pelosi takes it a step farther. Now, there are people, nonpartisan, Democrat, Republican, it doesn't matter, that feel there are too many people streaming into the country, completely out of control at this point. More and more people are literally crossing the Rio Grande. And yet Nancy Pelosi, as we're going to play in cut one, she has to raise the level of it and say Republicans, oh, it has to do with race. That's what Republicans, it's all about race. If it were the Irish, it would be one thing. Let's hear, this is Nancy Pelosi speaking on C-SPAN, talking about Republicans, race is part of the reason.
It's a very difficult subject to talk about. I think race has something to do with the fact that they're not bringing up an immigration bill. I've heard them say to the Irish, for just you, this would be easy. I think that, generally speaking, they are disrespectful of the representatives of the of the president's administration.
Everything is about race. You want to ask someone voter ID? Well, you know, that's a racial thing. Ask. No, it's not. It's to preserve your vote, my vote. I don't want voter fraud. You want voter fraud? Is that what we're fighting for? You want voter fraud? Go to North Korea. Go to some of these countries. Why is that? And this is a big speech the president is giving in front of all people, Reverend Ratt, FBI informant, number 7, as the New York Post called Al Sharpton. 1-855-400-7282. Carol is calling from Savannah, Georgia, listening on KBMQ. Carol, this is John DePietro, and welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi. I just want to say that my kids who are in public schools have always had to have IDs on them. They get stopped in the hall. These are teachers that have maybe known them for 4 or 5 years. They still want to see that picture ID. I don't see the big deal.
Carol, are you offended if you go to vote and the person asks you, I need a picture ID so you can vote? Are you offended at that?
I've never been offended, and I thought it was an expectation.
Yes.
Voter instructions that say this is what you bring with you.
Thank you for the call, Carol. 1-855-400-7282. You can also follow me on Twitter. It's John DePietro, no eyes, DePetro, John DePietro Show on Twitter. Let's go to line 8. Jim is calling from Boise, and he's listening on KBOI. Jim, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thank you for having me. I just wanted to say, anybody who thinks having a child is selfish needs to go tell their parents that their parents were selfish for bringing them into this world.
Thank you for the call, Jim. That refers to a caller. There were more and more, I was mentioning a story, more and more people, young women anyway, instead of having a child are deciding to have a small dog instead, and some are saying, oh, you know, it's pretty much the same thing, it's just a little bit easier. Well, no, it's not the same thing. And we had a caller that was saying that she feels anyway, that people that have children are selfish. But, you know, I think this is where the Obama administration, and they really ruin the cause by flaming people up, that if someone asked you for an ID, that it has to do with race, as opposed to ensuring fair elections, to ensure our voting process. Now, Nancy Pelosi, again, on a roll. First, she says immigration's all about race. Forget about the numbers of people coming in. Forget about the burden on the system. Forget about taking jobs of people. No, no. With the Republicans, it's all about race. Someone, you know, I've heard them say to the Irish, that's what she said. Well, then she goes on from there. And this is cut two. This is her argument, you know, very disrespectful. Oh, people are so disrespectful to this president, more than any other president. Let's hear Nancy Pelosi, cut two.
Very disrespectful. I mean, in other words, we've all been on both sides of that discussion in committee, and we always say whatever it is that you are agreeing or disagreeing, we always owe our witnesses respect. So I don't really want to go to that place. I would just say that their disdain for anybody who disagrees with them is pretty across the board. And I don't want to go to the race piece, but I think it certainly applies to women.
Oh, here we go. Oh, I don't want to go to the race piece, but it certainly has to apply to women. Why can't it be that someone just happens to disagree with your point, regardless of gender or race? Why is it that you have to throw in, well, I don't want to go to the race piece, since I already did that, mentioning the Irish. No, this time I'm going to say it certainly applies to women. It has nothing to do with my point and logic. It all has to do, you know, it's really just the fact that I am, in fact, a woman. I think the right to vote is sacred. I think the right to vote needs to be preserved. Let's go to line 2. Fernando is listening in San Francisco on KSFO. Fernando, this is John DePietro, and welcome to the Savage Nation.
Well, thank you for having me. Hey, listen, personally, you don't look at it at the face value. Obama knows what he's doing. Personally, I think it's a whistle, a dog whistle to the progressives that the jig is up. The American people are waking up. power slipping through their fingers, and this is their desperate gasp to rally the race card when they know perfectly well that we're seeing corruption in the voting block day after day, report after report, and the real disenfranchisement is from these people voting 4, 5, 6 times on record, on TV. We've had the case of a gal that got arrested but let go thanks to Holder and his gang. We're being disenfranchised because if I vote legally and somebody votes illegally, that cancels me out.
That's exactly right, Fernando. Thank you for the call. Are you offended someone asks you for an ID when you go to vote? 1-855-400-SAVAGE. This is John DePietro sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage. We'll come back with more of your phone calls. You're listening to the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE.
1-855-400-SAVAGE, 1-855-400-7282. This is John DePietro sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage, and this is the Savage Nation. President Barack Obama spoke at Al Sharpton's National Action Network and said the right to vote in the U.S. under bigger threat than any time since the Voting Rights Act passed nearly 5 decades ago. The president said the right to vote is threatened today. The election year warning comes as President Obama seeks to mobilize Democrat voters, fight back against state voting requirements and early balloting restrictions. Many in his party fear will curb turnout in November. How is the right to vote threatened by simply asking people to present an ID? The president vowed he would not let the attacks on voting rights go unchallenged, but of course offered no new announcements of specific action his administration planned to take. The president pinned efforts to curb access to the ballot box directly on the Republicans, declaring this effort has not been led by both parties. It's the Republican Party. The right to vote threatened. I repeat, are you insulted? Does that prevent your voting if, in fact, when you go to the polls, wherever you may be, and someone asks you for an ID? 1-855-400-7282. It's amazing how even with the news that Sharpton, number one, owes back taxes, number two, FBI information contradicts what he says, that he was an FBI informant, yet he still has the President of the United States come to his convention. He still has Attorney General Eric Holder come and speak. This is Sharpton now at his convention. Traditionally weak midterm turnout by Democrats, coupled with efforts in some states to limit early voting and to enact voter identification requirements, have prompted the president raise alarms and step up their get-out-the-vote efforts. What kind of vote is it that someone can't produce an ID? You can't fly. You can't drive. You can't get a credit card. You can't go to a doctor. Well, you can go down the list. Who are these people surviving without an ID? You can't get a job. Your employer wants to see an ID. You can't place someone. All right, someone never drove. You can't place them in a nursing home. They certainly get, as I said, get on an airplane. Who are these people that they're trying to help that can't vote, that say the right to vote is being threatened because people have to prove who they are? Who are they talking about? How is that possible? If someone doesn't have a job and doesn't have a legal ID, has no form of identification, do you really think they're going to take the time to pre-register to vote and then take the time to go that day? Or are they going to vote where they're supposed to and remember that they have to sign up to vote? You really think someone, if someone doesn't have an ID, doesn't have a job, can't prove they are who they say they are, you really think then they're going to take the, but voting is wildly important to them. How is that preserving the right to vote? Boy, everything, you want to talk about panic setting in. Everything is trying to push the buttons on panic The right to vote has never been threatened more than it is today. Complete nonsense. That's not what it's about. People don't want to go out and vote based on who some of the candidates are, based on some of the choices are. People should be asked. I'm not offended if someone asks me for my ID. I want them to ask me. I want someone to say, you need to be able to prove you are who you say you are. I want the vote to count. Are you offended at that? 1-855-400-7282. It's John DePietro sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage, and this is The Savage Nation. This is The Savage Nation. John DePietro sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage. You can join the program 1-855-400-SAVAGE is our phone number. 1-855-400-7282. The website is michaelsavage.com, and you can follow me on Twitter. It's John DePietro Show, no I's, DePetro on Twitter. President Obama spoke this afternoon in New York City. Reverend Ratt, his convention, Reverend Al Sharpton, disclosed this week. He was an FBI informant. Of course, that doesn't deter President Obama from speaking. God forbid that would prevent him from speaking at the convention. But one of the things, the theme the president hit on, is threatening and saying that the right to vote is being threatened. And all because in certain states you have to produce a photo ID. Do you regard that as discouraging people from voting? Is that suppressing the vote? Are you caught off guard? You go to vote and they say, all right, you need to prove you are who you say you are. How is that suppressing the vote? How is that the right to vote being threatened worse than it ever has in decades? Think of the right to vote. That is sacred. It is a privilege. I come from a household. I mean, both my parents used to vote. I remember the first time, like many of you, voting. You have to have some planning, right? You can't just show up. You have to register to vote. You have to be 18 years old. You have to live in a certain place. If you're not going to be there, there's certain provisions ahead of time. So why does that discourage people? Why is that a Republican issue? And again, I point to, all right, outside of that, what else in society can you do without having, you're an adult, a legal form of ID? I think it's all a smokescreen. No form of ID in voting, I think, encourages voter fraud. What do you think? 1-855-400-7282. Kevin, on line 2, is listening in Georgia. Kevin, this is John DePietro, and you're on the Savage Nation. Hello, Kevin.
Oh, I was just thinking about the subject of the voter ID and everything, and I was wondering how the Democrats can actually be such hypocrites when they just passed a law a couple years ago that requires everybody in America to have health insurance, but they have such a hard time with everybody in America that wants to vote to have an ID.
Yes. Thank you for the call. That is a very good point, Kevin. You know, with the whole stressing of every single person with health insurance, that's a very good point. And yet, it doesn't stand to reason at all. Let's go to line 9. Marie is in San Francisco, and she's listening to the Savage Nation on KSFO. Marie, you're on with John DePietro. Hello, Marie.
Hi. I just wanted to make the point that I think it's crazy that there's no national registry for voters. For example, my daughter, when she was 18, registered to vote in California and then went on to go out of state to college and registered again there. And we went online in California to take her off the voter rolls, and we've been trying now for 3 years to get her off the rolls here, and then she can't get off. So she gets two ballots. She only votes once, but it just makes me wonder how much of that is going on.
Think of that, Marie. Thank you for the call. Think of the amount of voter fraud that can go on. Or there are many people, they move on paper before an election. A number of people just vote on paper. They go down to their town hall and they just move over to a certain district. But this is the President of the United States. I mean, is there anything sacred that comes out of that office? The President of the United States saying the right to vote is being threatened. Why? Simply because people should be required and are being required to show some form of identification. Why not? Why not keep it honest? What are the system? Do we work on just the honor system? You know, how about, all right, next time you're going to fly somewhere, go to the airport, and it's just an honor system. You say you are, of course not, we're not going to allow that. Neither would we allow it on the roads. Let's go to line one. Joan is listening in New Mexico on KKOB. Joan, you're on the Savage Nation. This is John DePietro. Hello, Joan.
Hello. I just moved back to New Mexico from Arizona about a year ago, and they passed a law out there, and they enforce it, and it was ruled legal. And I worked the polls. So anyway, even before it went into effect, people would show up at the poll and pull out their identification to show us without even being asked. But after it went into force, on a busy election all day long, we had two people. I don't know if somebody rode with somebody else or whatever. But what you do is you have them fill in a provincial ballot, and they can either come back before the polls close that day and show you ID, or they can show up down at the clerk's office, which usually isn't too far to show their ID. The two people only in that very busy election day, one came back shortly and showed us their ID. The other didn't come back. So if they want to use a statistic, they can say, well, half the people that didn't have ID did not get to vote. But in that case, it would have been one person.
Now, Joan, you work the polls, and you say most people pull out their ID anyway. Were you, by asking for an ID, is that discouraging people? Do you notice where a lot of people coming in and they say, oh, forget it. I don't have an ID. I'm not going to show an ID. I refuse to. You're just trying to suppress my vote. Is it actually suppressing the vote the way President Obama claims it is?
No, it did not. And if you did not drive and did not have a picture ID, the law allowed for you to prove that you lived at an address by showing, like, a utility bill and one other thing. But there were several ways to show that you were illegal, that you didn't.
Right, that you were legal and you are who you are. Joan, thank you very much for the call. 1-855-400-7282. Boy, what a day for President Obama. First, he kicks out Sebelius after the Obamacare disaster. Then he stands up with Reverend Ratt, as he's called, Reverend Sharpton, and trying to scare people. Oh, the right to vote is being threatened. I mean, this is outrageous what people are at. I mean, can you imagine the indignity of showing up at the polls and they actually ask you for voter ID? We have to stop this. Why? Why is it an outrageous request? Go to rest of society. Who's offended at this? Let's go to line five. Corey, he's in San Francisco listening on KSFO. Corey, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yeah, hi, how's it going? I want to comment in regards to the ID for voting. Just food for thought for the listeners out there. I just recently got over a cold and went to a local drugstore to get a bottle of cold medicine, and I got ID'd to buy a bottle of NyQuil.
Yes.
So I guess it's a good thing I don't have soft skin that, you know, wow, they're asking for my ID.
Well, and Sudafed, the same thing, and that's because, you know, you can take that, and then they use an element of the drug. But, now, Corey, so there you are. You're sick. You need the cough medicine. Were you offended that suppress your ability to get it, or did you stomp out of there like, I've never been so insulted, you're actually asking me for ID, or did you just present it because it's a reasonable request?
Yeah, I presented it. Maybe, perhaps I should have thought I was being discriminated against, that they weren't going to sell it to me or something.
That's exactly right. Corey, thank you for the call. 1-855-400-7282. It's 1-855-400-SAVAGE. Our website is michaelsavage.com. Again, this is John DePietro sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage, and you're tuned to the Savage Nation. I'm still hearing from different people on the dog story. That is a story in the New York Post. I think it's more of an element of just, I think it's an element of selfishness creeping in, that some people are going off in a different direction. A lot of women are choosing dogs over motherhood, basically saying, well, they're basically the same thing. Well, basically they're not. but it's we're not getting a lot of direction these days. You notice that? I mean, everything seemingly out of the administration is on race. There's far too much in the headlines on the Kardashians. We don't have a tremendous number of people that are leading people in the right direction. Do you notice that? Let's go to line two. Rick is listening in Jacksonville, Florida, on WBOB. Rick, welcome. This is John DePietro, and you're on the Savage Nation.
Hello.
Go right ahead, Rick.
On the National Voter Registry.
Yes, go right ahead, Rick. What about that?
Yes. Well, someone called saying there should be a National Voter Registry, and I was under the impression that, you know, the voting is a state's purview by right of the Constitution. The state.
Yes.
I think Rick, what they
were trying to point out. Thank you for the call, Rick. I think what they were trying to point out is just, you know, there's such a push on Obamacare and national health care, and yet no concern on trying to galvanize some kind of an effort where people would be registered nationally. But then we heard from the caller. How about the caller that called up that the her daughter moved, and they've been trying to get her. She gets two ballots now and trying to get off that. And think of, you know, that's times, you know, 10 million of potential voter fraud. Stephanie is calling from Oklahoma City, listening on KOKC. Stephanie, welcome to the Savage Nation. Hello, Stephanie.
Hello. I work in a medical office, and in the last 3 to 4 months, we have seen so much pushback from getting authorizations for treatment for patients. They are refusing to authorize or delaying authorizing conservative treatment for patients, things like steroid injections, physical therapy, things that would be very helpful. And we've also seen a much higher percentage of surgeries being denied for, you know, things that were previously able to be authorized fairly simply. And this has happened, it's just been so astounding in the last 3 to 4 months. It's probably double in as to what it used to be.
That's very frightening, Stephanie. And yet the president, you know, commended outgoing Secretary of Health and Human Services, Kathleen Sebelius, basically saying she's going to go down in history as doing a tremendous job. You seem to feel differently.
I don't believe that the Obamacare plan really considered everything. I think they tried to cover all the bases when they should have just given basic insurance, things to that everybody sees the doctor for, colds, you know, preventative care, those type of things, instead of making it all-encompassing like they were trying to do or mimic what's over in Switzerland, where they have the, you know, the great health care system that everybody loves. They give you basic care, and then you can add on policies. And that's not what we have in the U.S. We have something where only 25, like the whole nation pays for, but only 25% of the nation's population is capable of using, which is maternity care.
Yes.
25% of any, you know, year, there's only 25% of the nation that could potentially get pregnant, and not even all of that 25% become pregnant. So, I mean, we're just talking about age of 15 to age 40. So everybody's paying for what only 25% could potentially use and don't use. So that's just, I just think that it's just been mishandled, and they leave out other things such as dental care, which is vital to good health.
Yes, very much so. Thank you for the call, Stephanie. You know, I was just thinking back. Let's hear cut six. It's amazing that Kathleen Sebelius resigned today. And when you go back, this is courtesy of C-SPAN, she basically, in cut six, was saying, you know, she was not going to resign.
Majority of people calling for me to resign, I would say, are people who I don't work for and who do not want this program to work in the first place. I have had frequent conversations with the president, and I've committed to him that my role is to get the program up and running, and we will do just that.
And then resign after that. 1-855-400-7282. More of your phone calls coming up. This is John DePietro sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage. You're listening to the Savage Nation.
It's a very difficult subject to talk about. I think race has something to do with the fact that they're not bringing up an immigration bill. I've heard them say to the Irish, if it were just you, this would be easy. I think that, generally speaking, they are disrespectful of the representatives of the of the president's administration.
Nancy Pelosi, isn't that amazing? Isn't that irresponsible? Race has something to do with it. That's why the Republicans aren't bringing up the immigration bill. I've heard them say to the Irish, who said that to the Irish? 1-855-400-7282. You're listening to The Savage Nation. This is John DePietro sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage. It is hard to believe that she has the position of authority that she has. What a completely irresponsible thing to say. You know, I think it was race. I've heard them say, who said that? Who said that to the Irish? New York Times story is frightening, entitled Hoping for Asylum. Do you know the number of illegals that are streaming over the border? Up 69% from last year. Why? Hoping for asylum. Are they from Mexico? No. Largely from El Salvador, Guatemala, Honduras. That's where the bulk is from. They're not from Ireland. No one is saying that to the Irish. Who's saying that to the Irish? The illegals keep coming in. Why? Are seeking asylum. They're told, coming in droves, they're going to be able to stay. Someone probably told them, send one border agents. Probably going to be able to get released. The migrants waited. Guatemalan mother, carrying a toddler with a baby bottle. Another with an infant, wrapped in blankets. Can you imagine? And they're crossing the Rio Grande. A 9-year-old girl said she was traveling by herself, hoping to rejoin her mother, two brothers in Louisiana. She didn't know where that was. 2-week journey from Honduras. Her only connection? Telephone number on a scrap of paper. Honduran woman said the group had followed the instructions of the Mexican smugglers. They just told us, cross and start walking. It's not race. It is reality to Nancy Pelosi. I want to thank Eric and Neil. Don't forget our website, michaelsavage.com. This is John DePietro. It's been my pleasure sitting in for the one and only Dr. Michael Savage. You can follow me on Twitter. It's John DePietro Show on Twitter. But you've been listening. This is The Savage Nation.